Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, so hey, if you didn't happen to catch up on yesterday's blog, you can still swing over there and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd really appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, you know, Dan, we had a couple of pitcher signings, not the, you know, not the big names, but I guess what you would call kind of, you know, let's call them second tier guys. You know, there was a lot of talk about Andrew Cashner this season. He agreed to a 2-year, $16 million deal with the Baltimore Orioles. He's coming off a season where he was 11-11 for the Rangers, made 28 starts, but had a 3.40 ERA. So that's not bad at all for the American League. You know, the weird part about it is his ERA was much better, but his strikeouts were way down. You know, Cashner used to be a big-time power pitcher strikeout guy. Only 86 strikeouts last year, but hey, I mean, if you got a 3.40 ERA, that's not too bad, right?
No, not at all.
So I don't know. You like this for the Orioles? You know, I know they needed somebody, you know, but they, you know, they had your guy Dylan Bundy and your other guy Kevin Gausman, but that was about it. So you think it's a good signing for them?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty solid signing. I mean, I think it's about time we start seeing these guys go. And, you know, I'm not sure where he's from, but I'm sure he's headed to Florida this weekend.
Yeah, and the contract does also contain there's a vesting option for a third year, and there's also, I believe, $4 million in incentives included, so he can actually earn up to $20 million with the deal. So not too bad a deal there. And then in another pitcher signing news, the Blue Jays went out and inked Jaime Garcia to a technically it's an $8 million deal with a $2 million buyout for next season. So they basically listed as 10 years. You know, Garcia, he did make 27 starts, but he made them for three different teams last year. He was 5-10 with a 4.41 ERA, but you know, he had some really good years in St. Louis, but he struggled the last couple seasons. You know, Toronto, you know, they needed to add a little depth. You know, they do have Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, Marco Estrada, and J.A. Hop. So Garcia's not a bad number five, is he?
No, not at all. And they just settled arbitration with Stroman yesterday. So I think for all intents and purposes, their starting rotation payroll isn't going to break the bank with all the money they have.
Well, allegedly. We keep hearing about all the money they have, and yet they never go out and sign a big-name free agent. So, you know, we'll have to we'll have to see how it goes. But yes, we knocked off a couple of, you know, like I said, not the top guys that everybody was talking about, but you know, definitely, you know, a couple quality pitchers. And then, you know, the Brewers made another add today as well. This one kind of went under the radar, I think. They actually signed Wade Miley to a minor league deal. Of course, he gets the invite to spring training. Interestingly, Dan, he signed for $2.5 million if he makes the major league roster. And if he gets into the rotation, it bounces up to $5.7 million. Now, of course, there's, you know, there's a lot of competition there in that Brewers rotation, but, you know, this looks like another pretty solid signing for the Brewers, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that a team that needed a fifth guy or fourth or fifth guy hadn't really looked into him, and he was brought in on a minor league deal.
You know, it's weird because, like, that this one isn't getting as much play as the other two signings, but, you know, it's odd because, you know, Miley's actually going to a team that looks like it's going to contend. Now, you know, he'll run into some competition. You know, the Brewers brought back Giovanni Gallardo. Junior Guerrero looks to be healthy. They also have Brett Sutter and Brandon Woodruff, who are all looking for rotation spots. So he's, you know, he's got some work in front of him, you know, if he's going to find his way into that Brewer rotation. But, yeah, all in all, I thought it was a really good signing for them. I know his, his numbers were a little down last year with the Orioles. Let me see if I can find him real quick because I ended up going a different way, and this one doesn't have what I'm looking for. But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, you know, all in all, it's, you know, not a bad deal. You know, if he can get in the rotation, if not, he can just end up kind of being a big lefty out of the bullpen, right?
Well, yeah, well, like you mentioned, he's got to make that major league roster first to be in the bullpen. But I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I think I would be quite surprised if he didn't break camp with them. I think that would be a little strange, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh boy, why am I making my life so hard here, Dan? All I wanted to do was pull up some Wade Miley stats, and I went all over the place the hard way looking for it, and I was like, geez, just make my life so much easier, you know. All right, let's see what we got here for Wade last year. He did make 32 starts with the Orioles, so, you know, he's taking the ball. That's a big plus. Sadly, he was 8-15 with a 5.61 ERA, so there's going to be a little work that needs to be done there. Even though it was 32 starts, it's only 157 and a third innings. But like you mentioned, that's kind of, you know, yesterday you were talking, that's kind of the new way baseball goes. He actually does have two seasons where he went over 200 innings and two more where he was over 190 innings. So he's logged some innings in his career. And at one point in time, he was a 16-game winner. I don't know if Milwaukee's getting that guy, but I still think they're still getting a solid left-hander to, you know, to help him out one way or the other, be it a bullpen arm or even if he's a spot guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the guys coming off the board slowly but surely here. Again, still no. You know, still no big names, but, you know, we're, these guys need jobs too. So, teams have to kind of round out and fill out their roster. And, that's how they do it.
Well, and the Padres, AJ Ellis to a minor league deal.
He was your backup. He was your backup catcher. Yeah.
I know, and in reference to the Cubs signing Chris Jimenez just so they can get Yu Darvish, does that mean Clayton Kershaw is going to the Padres next year?
Yes, it does. So that's how it would relate, right? I mean, if it worked out, so, you know, that would be a, you know, a big plus there, at least you would think. So.
Yeah.
But,
we never really talked about it. We never really talked about it that much, and that's kind of why I wanted to go that route real quick. You know, the Chris Amendola signing with the Cubs, that, you know, of course we knew they were looking for a backup catcher to, now I'm drawing a blank on his name, Wilson Contreras. But, you know, the Cubs never alluded to the fact that, ooh, we signed him to entice, you know, Darvish to come aboard. It wasn't like the Dave Grandpa Rossi signing, you know, where he kind of helped bring John Lester over, which, you know, they worked together for a while. Do you think it was the media and everyone just making such a big deal out of it just because of the Grandpa Rossi thing? Because, I mean, Jimenez only caught 12 of Darvish's games, and he came into the league in, what, 2012? So yeah. I don't understand why the correlation was brought to that and why, you know, paid broadcasters who do this for a living can make such is there another way around it than saying dumbass assertions?
No, you know, I think that boiled down to, you know, your theory of they needed something to write about, you know, because obviously there was just at that time there was absolutely nothing going on. You know, I mean, at least now we're getting some you know, some signings here and there, be it, you know, minor league deals or, you know, like Cashner and Garcia getting deals done. And I, you know, I just think they were, you know, somebody was desperate for a story and just kind of noticed that they happened to play together and did some research and was like, oh yeah, Darvish is coming to the Cubs now because they signed Chris Jimenez. Look at this. So.
I just thought it was ridiculous. I mean, I don't foresee him being Darvish's catcher for the whole season.
No, you know, I assume, you know, down the line he'll probably catch some starts of his just because Contreras is going to need days off. But, you know, if you've got a guy like Wilson Contreras, he's got to catch 135 games for you. Yeah, I mean, there's no – you know, no smaller number than that, barring an injury. You know, he needs to be back there every day, no questions asked. You know, the Kyle Schwarber catcher talk ends. You know, Contreras is the guy. He's one of the best in the league. He probably has the best arm in baseball, you know, from behind the plate. You know, he's you know, got past Molina, at least with that. You know, his offense is coming around, you know, in the right situation, he could be a 30 homer guy. So, you know, this guy needs to be in the lineup every day. There's, you know, just with the exception of those, you know, maybe day night games, stuff like that, where you got to give him a little time off. But yeah, I would think minimum 135 games for this guy for you. So. You know, and then Chris Jimenez can have the other. What does that leave him? 7 starts? Or 27 starts? He can have 27 starts. That's plenty for him. So,
yeah.
You know, he can get in those other games, the blowouts and stuff. You know, you can give Contreras a couple innings off. And, you know, if Jimenez is lucky, he gets in 50 games. He just cashes his check. You know, he's happy. That's all that should matter.
Yeah.
So. But, Dan, you know, it is Thursday, and I'm not sure if you remember, but do you know what happened today?
Thursday Night Football?
No. Tim Lincecum had his workout today.
Oh,
so, yes, John Heyman is reporting that he averaged throwing between 90 and 93 miles per hour during the workout. There were 25 to 30 scouts there representing 15 different teams. Now, that velocity was way up from when he pitched last year. I guess he was averaging just 87.8. So, it, you know, that's a big jump there. You know, we'll have to say, but, you know, according to reports, it appears to have went well for Lincecum. You know, you got to figure somebody's giving him a deal, right? I mean, at least like kind of the Wade Miley minor league deal, come to camp, let's see what you got.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you got to wonder who would be the one putting that deal out there. Or, you know, and who were those 15 teams out there representing? First Scouts representing?
Yeah. I was looking for there's another article here. I wanted to see if they had the teams listed, but it doesn't look like they actually say who they were. You know, I know it, you know, there was talk that the Red Sox were going to be there. So, you know, maybe they were one of the teams. But yeah, other than that, there's no listing of which teams were actually there.
You know, to be honest, I mean, of course, I'd prefer to see him go back into a Giants uniform, just because. But I mean, with the way the Red Sox organization is, I mean, I wouldn't say they're hard up for starting pitching. But I think he would be a great fit in that organization, especially if you, you know, run into some issues and maybe he needs that extra time off.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that could use him, you know, if he looked that good. You know, and again, I mean, I know if I was, you know, an A team was interested in signing him, I would want to look at him as a middle receiver, you know, as kind of a setup guy. I would want to know if he'd be interested in him. Because I, you know, I really think he's 33 now. He's going to be 34. You know, I think he'd stretch out his career by stepping into a middle relief role like that. I guess we'll just have to see who steps up makes the move.
I actually still have my fat hat of him from way back in 2009.
Well, you know, now you got a garage to put it up in now, so you can hang all those things up.
Yeah, that, I'll get around to that eventually.
By the time you want to sell the house, you'll have all that stuff up. So there you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we'll have to see how that goes. But what was the other one I did see? Oh, I noticed they're reporting Mr. Fantasy guy. I don't know how many years ago this was now, but Mr. Fantasy was all on the Danny Salazar train. I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago or how it worked out. And for a change, he was the guy who derailed a pitcher's career, because Salazar hasn't been the same ever since Mr. Fantasy decided he was invested in him. And they're actually reporting now that he's not going to be ready for opening day. After whatever, I don't know if he ended up having a shoulder procedure or if he just rehabbed, but he's another pitcher that, you know, as the reports say, is unlikely to be ready for opening day or his first start. So, you know, we'll have to see. What are they reporting here? He had inflammation in his right shoulder during his off-season throwing program in mid-January. So they shut him down for a few weeks, and he has just recently returned to throwing, but he's several weeks behind schedule, so that would put him, you know, 2 weeks behind opening day.
Yeah, but I mean, with the way the game is played now, wouldn't you rather a guy take his time and not be ready for opening day? I mean, I don't, with the way, you know, injuries, I mean, you and I don't know what they're like. I mean, why the sudden need to rush it? I mean, yeah, it's cool to have a guy ready for, you know, opening week. But at the same token, you want to get him healthy. So I don't know why there's such a negative emphasis on missing opening day, especially in a league where the season is 162 days long.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, 2 weeks is nothing. You know, when you kind of look at the long-term framing of the season, it's like, You know, I think the bigger issue becomes is this is kind of what Salazar has turned into now. You know, he went from a guy with a lot of promise to a guy who just can't stay healthy. You know, and you got to wonder, I mean, you know, he's 28 now. He should be rolling into the prime of his career, but you know, the last couple seasons, he's lost starts to injuries. He's only had one 30-start season in his entire career. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Indians will have to go to a six-man rotation, and he can only pitch once a week.
It's going that way.
So.
Pretty soon we'll have a week's day off.
Humorous, the more and more you look at it, that it's looking like it's going that way, and it's going to be like, yeah, okay, here we go, you know. So,
you know, it'll give them a little bit more structure if they just kind of have, say, Wednesday off every week, play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that, you know, comes up here, you know. So, but interestingly, Dan, they opened up the, you know, the secret free agent camp on Wednesday. They said about 15 guys showed up to work out. But interestingly, the Kansas City Royals ended up with a scout there who was removed from the workout.
Isn't that the whole point of the workout?
That's what I thought, but he was told that he was not welcome, but he could set up sessions with an individual player at the player's discretion. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, if nobody's seeing you work out, I don't know how you're going to get signed. The teams are going to want to see you work out, but I don't know. Maybe answer that.
I don't understand the point of that, but because I assumed if you have this camp for a bunch of free agents who don't have a team yet, you would want the scouts to be there. You know, maybe find a way to make the team pay. I don't know if that's what they're looking for. But, you know, maybe that'll be into the next collective bargaining agreement in 5 years. But I mean, if the scout's not allowed, then these players, why aren't they just working out on their own with their own people at home or, you know, and then scouts could, the same thing, except they're all in one spot. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it is rather confusing. And, you know, there's no real explanation as to why, you know, why or how they decided that was the route they were going to go. But yeah, they decided that, you know, scouts weren't allowed, not just this one scout, just all scouts in general. And I would have thought that for sure, you know, you would want to see, you know, you'd want to see a guy work out to see how he's doing or, you know, what he looks like or, you know, how his baseball skills are at this point. But apparently no. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm officially confused.
But, yeah.
So what's the purpose of the free
agency? I don't get that one at all. You know, it's like we're working out just to work out. I could be doing this at home. So, you know, why did I have to come to Florida to do this? So, but yeah, apparently some big news, Dan, was Shohei Ohtani did throw his first bullpen session for the Angels today. I think scouts were allowed there, so we'll have to see. But yeah, he got to you know, take part in the drills. It doesn't say if he did any hitting, but you know, who knows? I guess one thing at a time. So. But then, and locally, Dan, I don't know if you heard this one. I just found this out. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday morning, or maybe it was sometime yesterday, I don't know what the heck it was, I see that the White Sox are now going to have their games covered on WGN Radio. So I'll actually be able to find them this year and listen to them. You know, last year I don't even remember where they were last year. Were they on, like, were they at WLS? Or no, they were up, they were, I don't know, they were somewhere lost on the AM dial here locally, and I couldn't find them. So, yeah, this year, I mean, they're going to, I mean, that's a big move for them, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot better coverage, at least.
Yeah, well, they were on, like, WLS, the secondary station, so good luck finding them, as were the Bulls, which the Bulls actually just got their deal signed with the Score. So that's pretty, it's going to be interesting when Major League Baseball and the NBA overlap, figure out what they do there. But I just thought it was interesting. I saw the Sox deal this morning, and I was confused by it because, you know, it was, yeah, I'm sure the Cubs were looking to do their own and sign a new deal, but at the same time, from what I understood, supposedly the ratings were down for the Cubs on GN, and they couldn't wait to get baseball off their station. So,
yeah.
You know, great move for the Sox. But again, here's another situation where I'm completely baffled because you had the team that you know, went from really bad to, you know, becoming playoff contenders every year since after getting off of WGN. So I didn't understand this deal one bit.
No, and you wonder if maybe it was just some, you know, new program director who came wandering in, or maybe there was some other kind of management change, and, you know, they just looked at it and decided, you know, we don't need baseball. You know, and I mean, it is a little strange because, like, they cover Northwestern football and basketball, so it's just kind of ironic that they would get rid of baseball only to bring it back, and now, you know, they cover Blackhawk hockey. You know, they've had the Blackhawks hockey for the last few seasons. So, yeah, to kind of go away from the Cubs, who, I mean, the Cubs were on WGN for as long as I can remember. I mean, since I was a little kid, you know, the Cubs were on WGN. So that was, you know, not to date things, but 40-plus years at least. You know, I'll have to ask Schomburg Stu if they were on there when radio was invented, because he would know the answer to that. But, yeah, to make that, you know, I mean, I think you and I both thought it was kind of an odd move when they originally made it, and now all of a sudden you're bringing back the other Chicago team, which is in the exact same situation the Cubs were kind of in when you let them go. So I don't know. Maybe they got a better deal money-wise?
Possibly. I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I was just kind of, you know, I mean, I was excited because at least I'll get to hear the White Sox this year, you know, when I'm, you know, in the car, or, you know, if they're playing late, I can get them on the radio as I'm going to sleep. But, you know, because, yeah, like, you know, last year was a nightmare to even try to find a game on the radio. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So, you know, that's nice because, I mean, it is baseball, and even though they're not a great team, I still like to, you know, listen to the games when, you know, the Cubs aren't on or there's something else going on that I don't have. So, you know, that's a big plus. I was nice, you know, it was nice to hear that at least. But we'll, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, maybe they'll win it again.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, no, I'm not the White Sox fan, but I think what the White Sox are doing, though, I think makes them very interesting to keep up with, whether on the radio or the TV. Which, I mean, streaming-wise, they're blacked out, you know, from the MLB app, so we'll be stuck listening to away games with Hawk, unfortunately, but... You know, it's only a matter of time before he's finally gone. You know, and I'm surprised he hasn't came. Well, I hope so. I thought last year was his last year, but I think this year is supposed to be the end of his broadcasting.
Yeah, because I thought he was – isn't he – I thought for some reason he was on, like, a limited 20-game schedule or something this year, and then that was going to be it.
I don't know. He should just throw in the towel.
Well, you know, I mean, it's – I can understand why he doesn't want to give it up. I mean, you know, if I had a job like that, I would probably do it until I died. But, you know, I mean, he – I think he's run his course, so to speak. I don't dislike him as much as, like, you do or some other people do, but I do definitely think it's time for him to move on.
Well, and it's not just me and all the other Cub fans anymore. White Sox fans, they, you know, when you see a silly meme or whatever posted, you get Cub fans really ripping it, but then you get Sox fans who jump in like, hey, I know this is my team, but I can't wait for him to leave either, you know. So it's kind of the consensus. You know, especially with the White Sox having Steve Stone. I mean, you've got this guy who's just got all this baseball knowledge and is going to break down the smallest thing for you and really, you know, bring to you what the game is all about. And then, you know, he keeps it interesting. He keeps you wanting to listen and watch, even if they're playing bad or they're losing. And then you got the guy sitting next to him who's, you know, whining because Kopech gave up 3 home runs in a row. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's part of the game. You're in a tank seat mode, so get over it.
You know, the weird part is, you know, like, I mean, you know, Hawk, he actually knows baseball. But it seems like the more it goes on, the less and less he's shown that he knows baseball. And it's just kind of, you know, it's catchphrase to the next. You know, like last year, it seemed like every time I saw him, you know, he was doing a lot of complaining about umpires.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, they're going to be a bad team no matter who's umpiring the game. It's just where they're going. So... but yeah, I think, you know, I just think he's kind of run the gamut, and it's time to move on.
And like you said, with the catchphrases, okay, you're down 5-3. Let's say you're down 9-1. You can put it on the board. You're down 9-1 with a solo home run. It's the 7th inning, like the home run, just like watching the home run derby and listening to Boomer. They you know, oh, it's the home run derby. Guess what they're going to do? They're all going to hit home runs. I don't need to listen to you for 2 hours with that back crap. I mean, it was good and it was fun when, you know, the 80s and ESPN first jumped on and was doing all the, you know, and he was getting the highlights. Okay, that was cool. But I don't need to listen to it for an hour straight because it's the home run derby. We know what's going to happen. They're going to hit home runs. I don't even know why I get so worked up about it. It just drives me nuts.
You know, but, you know, to be fair, though, that's not just Hawk. You know, every guy uses his catchphrase when a home run's hit, no matter what the score is. You know, that's just part of his brand, I guess, now. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, don't even get me started on the Chris Berman thing. That's, you know, that's part of the reason I don't watch the home run derby. So, you know, that's
I think he's done, but that was a big reason I didn't want to watch it, was because he annoyed the hell out of me. It's like, okay, the guy has, you know, two or five minutes. I forgot how it went, but, you know, the whole purpose is to hit home runs. I don't need you to back it every time the ball is in the air, because guess what? We're all watching a home run.
Yeah, we kind of know the object of the contest. You know, it's not like you're calling an actual game where, you know, the call could be, okay, you know, I can deal with it then. You know, they're there to hit home runs. They're not there to, you know, do anything else.
You know, it's not the ground ball derby. And, you know, and like I mentioned, it worked when he was doing the highlights because you're taking a 3-hour game and you're showcasing the best parts of it. Okay, you know, and you put it in this fast-paced thing. So it wasn't like it stood out, but it wasn't so annoying because, you know, he would say, you know, blah, blah, you know, he's going back and forth with both sides of the team. And then all of a sudden, you know, Randy Johnson, you know, throws a 100-plus-mile-an-hour fastball to newcomer Ron Coomer, and he hits a home run, and all of a sudden you're back, home run. You know, okay, it works in that situation, but for an hour straight.
Yeah.
I mean, you like how I threw that in. I listened to way too much Cubs broadcasting on the radio where they brought that story up at least once every other day.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, nothing against Ron Coomer, but there aren't a ton of career highlights, I believe, that they can bring up. So, I know they always mention, you know, when he's introduced, he's former All-Star Ron Coomer. You know, they don't mention it that the only reason he made the team was because the Twins needed a representative. So, yeah. I mean, you were in wrestling long enough to know that you got to leave the little things out sometimes to get your story across. So, that's kind of how it goes with Coomer. I mean, at least, you know, when, you know, Sano was in the booth, he was a Hall of Famer. You know, he should have been a Hall of Famer a long time before he actually got in the damn Hall of Fame, but that's another story. You know, there was no Ron Coomer Hall of Fame candidacy. You know, I think he was on the ballot for his 1 year. He didn't get anywhere close to the votes, and he was off. So, you know, there's – but, you know, to be fair, he's good. You know, him and Pat Hughes work really well together. So, it's a big plus, and it makes games enjoyable on radio.
So, better than TV.
I can't win with the TV guys, but I will be interested to see if the Sox are going to stay with, you know, their radio team for the last few years have been Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson. You know, and I know Jackson is another one of those guys who's really good breaking down the games. And, you know, Farmer had to move over to play-by-play. He used to be the color guy. So I'll be interested to see if they keep that dynamic or if maybe they try to add an actual play-by-play guy. But, you know, Farmer's been doing it for a few years now, so he might have a good hang of it and everything. But that, you know, that'll be interesting to see what they work out, because I haven't heard anything about who's going to be announcing or anything like that. I know the commercial I heard just mentioned who was going to be hosting the pregame and postgame on WGN. So,
who cares? I mean, nothing against the Sox. Don't even let me go there. I'm not going there at all. But, you know, when is some big company just going to buy out WGN and put them out of their misery? I mean, watching Hawks Bulls games, their you know, halftime stuff, their postgame, pregame, it's like, hey, we opened a little closet and we put some stuff in here, and here you guys have your little studio. It's like the production level, it's not worth what you're doing. I mean, I've been to other cities. I've been to other, you know, markets, and smaller markets have better production for their pre and post game and, you know, inner game stuff. I mean, for the Blackhawks, I don't know if it was last year. I haven't watched as much this year. I usually turn off the in-between stuff, but, you know, when they're on WGN, it's like two guys sitting at a bar top table with, I'm assuming it's a green screen behind them and, you know, some projected old vintage posters of the Blackhawks. It's just such a waste.
I don't think I've ever seen the WGN intermission before, so.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand why they continue to do it. I mean, if you're going to cover sports, you should do it. Don't half-ass it.
Well, do you think they do it because they're really not a sports network anymore? You know, I mean, for a while, they carried everybody. You know, they had both baseball teams. They had the Hawks. They had the, you know, they had the Bulls. You know, I mean, they were Chicago sports stations, basically, but now – you know, Comcast kind of rolled in, or what is it now, NBC Universal or whatever, and, you know, kind of took that all away. So you got to think that is taking away some of the draw or some of the appeal there. And, you know, I mean, it's not quite, I don't even think they have a, they used to have a nightly sports talk show, a couple hours, you know, David Kaplan used to host. And I don't believe they even do that anymore. So it's been a, you know, kind of a big change locally. You know, as teams kind of shifted and went to different media markets and stuff like that. And WGN is just kind of, let's say behind the curve. So we'll go with that. But all right, we move on. I don't know if you guys caught this last night, but Rajon Rondo, introduced himself to Isaiah Thomas last night in the Pelicans-Lakers game, and they both got ejected. It was odd because it apparently stems from Rondo more or less defending the Celtics' legacy and feeling like Thomas wasn't deserving of a video tribute. Now, Rondo hasn't played with the Celtics in quite a few years now. Give me a minute, and I will Bing that to see just how you know, just how long it's been. But you know, he's bounced around quite a bit. He did win a championship with the Celtics. I mean, other than that, I don't know, you know, how long it's been. Let's see. All right. He played for the Celtics. He was drafted by the Celtics. He was there for the 2006-2007 season, all the way to the 2014-2015 season. He played 22 games there before being shipped off to Dallas. Now, since then, he spent those 46 games with Dallas, a year in Sacramento. He was here in Chicago last year, if you remember that more or less fiasco. And now this year, he's in New Orleans. So he's 3.5-plus years removed from being a Celtic, but yet he still seems to feel it necessary to defend their legacy. I don't know. Well, A, if they need it, and B, why he would be so interested in, you know, in why or if Isaiah Thomas got a tribute video. I mean, he's playing in New Orleans. It's really not his call. But, you know, last night he decided to kind of take matters into his own hands. He, not that they were hard shots or anything like that, but he does whack Thomas in the head on three different occasions before Thomas finally responds. You know, and again, they weren't vicious or, you know, concussion leading or anything like that, but you know, they were still cheap shots. And I don't really understand it, but both guys got tossed out of the game, and it just seemed, I guess the term would be petty on Rondo's part at this point. Again, you're 3.5 years removed from playing for that team. Why are you worried about what they did, or why, you know, you felt you had to defend Paul Pierce, you know, because there was the issue that they were going to show the Thomas video when they retired Paul Pierce's jersey. So yeah, I don't know. It was just baffling. Did you get to see highlights of this or anything?
No, I saw an article. I started to read it, but I just didn't really. I was trying to figure out what the hell they were talking about, because I'm like, what does Rondo have to do with it? And I'm like, oh, he's trying to do his LeBron's 2 cents.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just the oddest thing, you know, especially because, like, when I heard they got kicked out before I saw the highlight, I was like, oh, okay, you know, this happens, you know, I know. Rondo is a pretty intense defender, so I can see something like that happening. But yeah, then as they got into it more and more and started talking about what it was about, I was like, God, this is kind of incredibly stupid.
I mean, was he a little upset? He didn't have a tribute video done when he came back, or?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, they didn't really go into any kind of detail there, but yeah, who knows? You know?
I don't know. Like you said, I think it's just petty drama. Which, I mean, Thomas was there for a handful of years, but maybe it's because he wasn't drafted by them. He wasn't technically one of their guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that could possibly be it. I mean, to be fair, you know, in reality, Rondo was technically drafted by the Phoenix Suns, but it was a draft day trade. So, you know, that he ended up being Celtic right away. And, again, it was just so goofy when, you know, I kind of started getting into it and all the other stuff. I was like, wait, really? This is why he was D'ing up on him and ended up whacking him in the face 3 times. So. But yeah, it was like, oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. But here you go. In some more NBA news. Yeah, in some more NBA news, Dan, today on First Take, on the good old Mickey Mouse Network with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, Chris Bosh was one of their guests. And he actually mentioned that he is open for an NBA return this season. Now, you know, he hasn't played since... Yeah, let me see. They had it in here. Yeah, he played 44 games in the 2014-15 season. His career was ended because of blood clots. And there is a chance they could reoccur if he decided to play again. But, he has expressed interest in making a return. If he signed by March 1st, he would actually qualify for the playoff roster. And he listed 3 teams. He said he would. He was interested in playing for the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors, or making a return to Toronto, is where he actually was a breakout star before going to Miami and ended up being the third fiddle behind Wade and James. I'm assuming there's probably a whole bunch of medical stuff he would have to go through, but I think it would be cool if he could get back out there. I mean, in Toronto, he was one of the best players in the league. I don't know what he's got left. I mean, I know he's still a young guy, but, it could be kind of interesting.
Well, I didn't realize he hasn't played for that long. I mean, I know there's always been the talk he's going to. But I think it would be cool, especially I think it would be even cooler to see him end up back in Toronto. I think you said the other day there's only a couple teams that were stuck playing tonight before the All-Star break. But, after the Raptors, I almost called them the Blue Jays, pulled one of your moves. After the Raptors just dominated the Bulls the other night, I was looking into the standings. I know we're at, the halfway mark, and there's still time for the Cavs to just kind of take over and get back into first place. But the way Toronto was playing, do you think they could keep that momentum rolling and stay in, kind of battling it out for first and second with the Celtics? And maybe we could see, those two teams kind of battling it out for the first, second seed. I mean, I think you and I – both kind of agree that third place, even the hell, eighth seed, doesn't matter. The Cavaliers are going to go to the finals. But it would be kind of nice to see maybe a different team up there in the top two in the East.
Yeah. Charles Barkley today actually mentioned that he thinks Toronto could win the Eastern Conference. So Chuck is believing in them.
Wow.
So. Just so you know, there are 2 games tonight, Dan, before the NBA officially takes their All-Star break. We have the Denver Nuggets at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers at the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is actually the TNT game tonight, if you are interested in checking that out. So you can see at there. But, yeah, Toronto is right now Toronto has the best record in the Eastern Conference. They are 41-16. They are 2 games better than the Celtics and 6.5 better than the Cavaliers. They're on a 7-game winning streak heading into the break, and they're 9-1 in their last 10. So, yeah, they, you know, they've always been a really good regular season team. You know, I mean, like last night, they, you know, they mopped up on the Bulls by, what was it, 24 points.
Oh, that was last night.
Yeah, that was last night. So, you know, that was quite the butt kicking. But yeah, they've always been, you know, really, really good during the regular season. And then, you know, kind of come playoff time, they just haven't been able to get over that, you know, LeBron hump. And, you know, they haven't been able to get past the Cavaliers. I don't know if the addition of somebody like Chris Bosh would change that, but you know, it could definitely, you know, make
those
it,
shoes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, or, you know, just, you know, hell, if he could just rebound and block shots, you know, that would be you know, that could be a huge addition there. But, you know, it's odd because, I mean, when you look at it, Kyle Lowry's actually having kind of a down year. You know, his scoring average is way down at 16.6. But, you know, DeMar DeRozan is kind of taking over as the team leader. He's at 23.7. Your guy, Serge Ibaka, that you were nice enough to take away from – did you take – yeah, you took him away from me. I dealt you him. He's at 12.9. You know, and he's supposed to be their shot blocker, but – you know, they could probably use a, you know, another guy in that area. And but, you know, yeah, so they've, you know, they've been a pretty well-rounded team, but they just don't seem to have that one guy that jumps out at you.
Now, going over to the West, I know you're not big up on the Western Conference and catching – any of their games, really, because of their, obviously, their time slot. But I found it very interesting, and I don't know if you heard this. I don't even remember where I heard this, but some people were basically just shutting down the Rockets and that they're not for real. They're kind of a joke, and they don't even have what it takes to get past the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, they completely downplayed this team. I'm assuming this is a you know, and obviously an Eastern Conference kind of guy who's in love with LeBron. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I've seen a handful of Rockets games, and, you know, they play very well. I would say that, you know, which is big in the league anyways, is the defense really isn't there as it could be. But, I mean, I still think they're contending, and they really kind of beat up on Chris Paul, saying he doesn't have what it takes. He's always, you know, falls out. James Harden isn't that good, and, you know, kind of ripped apart their team. You know, are you in that same boat, or am I just a little too pessimistic, or is it optimistic? I always forget.
Yeah, I would like to know what this guy was watching when the, you know, the Rockets went out and beat up on the Warriors last night. So, you know, I mean, I believe that's the second time, you know, they've handled the Warriors without too big of an issue. You know, I mean, obviously when it comes to playoff time, you know, that'll be a bigger test here. I'm looking for the final here from it. Where is it? There we go. Oh, actually, no, my mistake. The Warriors lost to Portland last night. But with the Rockets getting a win, they beat Sacramento. They moved into first place in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, they have beaten the Warriors a couple times they've played. So yeah, you wonder. I mean, I guess, you know, like I heard somebody today say that they would believe in the Rockets when they beat the Warriors in a playoff series. So I guess that's what it's going to take. You you know. But, they're the top two scoring teams in the league, so it would be a hell of a series if they met.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, and I forget who threw this one out. I forgot. I think it was, I don't know if it was Chicago or ABC broadcast. It was a former NBA player who wants to, I don't know if he's joking or he's serious, but petitioning the league to literally drop it to the best 16 teams and forget conferences and divisions and all that and just have them battle it out so that you end up with, let's just say it ends up being the Rockets versus the Warriors as opposed to, East versus West. My only issue with that is you want the best teams. I don't want the best 16. I don't want half the league to make the playoffs. I want the best teams. I would cut that down to 12, but that's just me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the only reason there's 16 is because it's a money grab by the owners.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason. And especially now that all these damn series are 7 games, it wasn't so bad when you had 16 games when the first round series were best of 3. Because then they went really fast. It was no big deal. But, yeah, now that everything is best of 7, it needs to be cut down. In the West right now, Houston has a half game lead over Golden State. San Antonio's third. They're 10 back. And our guys in Minnesota, Dan, are in fourth place. They're 10.5 back. But Houston has won 10 games in a row coming into the All-Star break. The only team hotter than them right now is Utah, who's won 11. And oddly, believe it or not, even on an 11-game winning streak, they're only 10th in the Western Conference.
Wow. They should have kept Derrick Rose.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would love to know what that guy was kind of thinking when he wasn't believing in the Rockets. And I know, okay, they've got to prove it. When it comes down to it, they're going to have to beat, they're going to have to beat the Warriors in a series. That's just kind of how it is. But, in reality, I mean, you can say that about, any team. I mean, don't the Raptors or the Celtics have to beat the Cavaliers in a series to prove they're worthy?
Pretty much.
So, just depending on how you kind of, you kind of look at things that way. So, it's just like, well, okay, I understand like that thinking. You got to beat the big boys ahead of you, but to kind of write them off like they did so quickly, I think they're a little better than that. So
yeah, well, and I mean, it's obvious that
I would be interested
any team
to know if you remember who I was, I would wonder if he would admit to it at the end of the year that he said that.
Yeah, I have no clue who it was. I don't even remember where I was listening to that at. It could have been last night, to be honest with you, after we, got off the air.
So, all right, well, the music means that we are going off the air. Look at that. Dan timed that out just right. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. So you can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like. Now, Dan is going to take a bit of an extended weekend. We're not going to see him again until next Wednesday. So I'm going to hunt Schomburg Stu down and see if he can come in. So look for us here at 5 o'clock tomorrow or the next couple days if Stu is here, because Stu needs to do it a half hour earlier. But as always, thanks for listening to Dan and I live today. But don't forget, you can go get the podcast at scootin.com.
Roll out. Roll out. Sports Time Radio. Roll out. .com.